Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go on this first Sunday of Advent, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing. We're so grateful to have you tuning in on this particular Sunday morning. You'll probably notice in the email that allowed you or directed you to this podcast link that there is an opportunity to pledge online. There's a little button, a little tab for you to do that on the email that you received. And we're really hoping for everybody to participate this year, whether you are someone who makes your way fairly regularly physically to God's Acre, or whether you are part of our virtual community. We'd love to have everybody participate. We have an ambitious goal of 425 contributions and commitments to our church funding our ministries this year, along with 425 visions for what greater work we might do together in the years to come, thanks to the motivation and encouragement and support of the Holy Spirit. So we'd love to have you participate. Also, we are welcoming to our podcast and our pulpit today the Reverend Kent Salati. The wisdom of our deacons and our leadership team and others have suggested that in this time of transition, as we're trying to figure out appropriate pastoral staffing, we need some pastoral backup for me. And Reverend Kent Salati was the former Connecticut Conference Minister of the United Church of Christ, and for the last number of years, he's been heading up the development efforts for our denomination in Cleveland. And he is retired, and he's retired right next door in Stamford, and he has agreed to be something of a pastor in residence, so serving as some backup for me and a presence here when I happen to be away. So we invite him on this first Sunday of Advent again to offer us a word, and as we await that word, I invite you to just prepare yourselves and be present to the anthem. My dear friend Karen Harvey put together a wonderful Christmas album of piano music, and I want you to enjoy her offering Good King Wenceslas as we await the word that will be shared with us. Thank you.
Reading from Mark. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Here ends the reading from the Gospel of Mark. Wasn't it just a little over a week ago that we were looking forward to pumpkin pie and roasted turkey? Suddenly, it seems, winter is here. The Christmas season has begun. A week ago, Friday, on Black Friday, Americans spent billions of dollars on presents in shopping malls, and on Cyber Monday, our inboxes were cluttered with Amazon deals galore. Christmas trees are certainly for sale. Christmas carols are being played on radio stations everywhere. We are headed full throttle toward December 25th, and I haven't even yet digested my Thanksgiving dinner. In those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see. Today's gospel from Mark isn't just about those days. It's about these days, too. The darkness of these days, the darkness of your life, the darkness of my life. And quite frankly, I'm tired of the darkness. I'd prefer not to hear about or face the darkness. Maybe you would rather not either. It really is like this every single year on the first Sunday of Advent. It doesn't matter whether we read from Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Every year, it's about darkness. Signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, not knowing, keeping awake, paying attention, keeping on guard. These stories are called apocalyptic, and we often read them as kind of an end-of-the-world story. Some even use this imagery as signs by which to predict the future. Maybe you've heard of the Left Behind series, which is a quite lucrative business in predicting when the end of the world will come. But I don't think that's what these stories are about, and to read them that way, I think, is to misread them. Apocalypse is a Greek word meaning to uncover, to reveal, to disclose. In that regard, apocalypse is about possibilities and hope in the future. Apocalyptic literature, like today's gospel, isn't really meant to scare us. It's a wake-up call that uses poetic imagery and language to sharpen our awareness of God's presence in and promise to us and the world. It's not about focusing on some other world, but about paying closer attention to this world. Today's gospel takes us to those threshold moments that leave us wondering whether things are falling apart or falling into place. My answer to that is yes. Yes, they are. It's a threshold that leaves us betwixt and between, neither here nor there. It's that space between what has been and what will be, the old that is no longer and the new that is not yet, life as it was and life as it might be. It's the space between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. It's the wilderness between Egypt and the Promised Land. We come to that threshold in a thousand different ways. This morning, I stand on the threshold in 12 days of retiring from full-time ministry after serving various United Church of Christ settings for 42 years. What this next stage of my life will look like is, of course, unknown. And it frightens my wife, quite frankly, more than it does me. But I'm trusting in God's guiding hand to lead me to the unknown future. Threshold experiences are times of change and transition, invitations to self-reflection and growth, and openings to something new and unknown. They can be scary and sometimes painful times. I'm guessing many of you could tell a story about a threshold time in your life. I wonder if there is a threshold for you today. What happened? How did you get there? What has left you asking and not knowing whether your life is falling apart or falling into place? Sometimes, friends, it's hard to tell the difference. For most of us, those thresholds are places of darkness, uncertainty, and not knowing. In the darkness, "I don't know" is our refrain. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what will become of me. I don't know if I can do this. This is the day and hour about which no one knows. The sun is no longer a light upon our path. The moon is no longer the nightlight in our world. The stars by which we have oriented our lives have fallen. The usual sources of illumination no longer shine, and we can't see. We're in the dark, and it feels as if all is lost. It would be easy to believe that because we can't see. There is nothing to see. Because we don't know the way forward, there is no way forward. And because we can't control the future, there is no future. To fall into those beliefs is actually, I think, to fall asleep, the very thing that Jesus tells us on this first Sunday in Advent not to do. Keep alert. Be on the watch. Keep awake, Jesus says. Why would Jesus say this unless the darkness holds hope and a promise that we can never see by the light of day? What if darkness is not an enemy to be feared? What if darkness is a friend and a teacher giving us night vision? What if darkness is not the end? What if darkness is actually a new beginning? What if darkness is giving us a horizon further than we can see? I'm asking you and I'm inviting myself to reconsider the relationship we have with darkness. I'm inviting us to let go of our childhood fears of the dark. I'm asking us to remember and trust that all new life emerges from the dark, the plant from the dark earth, the newborn from the dark womb, and Jesus from the dark tomb. I'm asking us to consider the darkness as the envelope that holds God's promissory note to you and to me. That's our Advent work, to befriend and enter the darkness of growth, maturity, and change, the darkness of healing and hope and faith. Thick darkness is the place of God's presence, not of God's absence. The darkness is the beginning and the origin of creation, not the end of the world. Why would we ever close our eyes or turn away from that? It is in the darkness that the spirit of hope is born. The advent of God's time is not solely about coming at the end of time, but God's intrusion into our human story in this time. Our tradition reminds us that we're always living in a crucial time. Not only is there darkness and chaos, but we're also holding on to the hopeful vision of God's new reality of the peace and justice that God intends for this time, for all time. Our hope in these times ought to stimulate ethical vigor, giving us the nerve to build a better world, to overcome human strife, to mitigate our inhumanity to one another, to overturn oppressive powers that choke the life out of others. We begin this Advent keenly aware of our need for the intrusion of God into the world once more. The wars in Ukraine and Gaza, the massacres in Sudan, the political unrest in our own country, the unhoused in our own cities and state, we hope in a God who will break into the story of the world. We dare not place ourselves among the anxious and fearful. We hold fast to the vision of peace and justice for the world today, and that is at the core of our faith. The stories of Advent are God's stories about staying alive to the exquisite pain and joy of being human. Mary allowed herself to stay alive to the mystery of the birthing within her. Elizabeth kept nurturing the hope growing inside her. Joseph stayed faithful to the promise of new life, despite the pain associated with it. The promise we are given in these times assures us that we are not living toward the sputtering end of all things, but that we are called to live in hope, even in the midst of darkness. One of my favorite authors, poets, Wendell Berry, says this: "To go in the dark with a light is to know the light. To know the dark, go dark. Go without sight. And find that the dark too blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings." We need to stay alive to God's promises. The prophet Isaiah reminds us of a God of hope. Fresh waters shall break forth in the wilderness. New life can be born out of the sea of despair. God will make good the promise of life. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, this holy season, to know dark, go dark. Do not be afraid. Even the darkness sings with hope. Let us pray. God, we give thanks for the darkness, for the ways in which the darkness teaches us about your presence, your hope, your Holy Spirit remaining with us and not abandoning us in our time of need. We thank you, O God, for this first Sunday of Advent, a season of waiting, a season of keeping alert, a season of awareness that you walk with us and you walk among us in this time of new life and anticipation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So, friends, I invite God's blessing to be with you, to know God's Spirit within you, and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only with word, but through your life, so that others may know the power of that Spirit guiding us, leading us along the way. Go in peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.